Hello, and welcome to a special breaking news episode of the Harvey Weinstein Trial Unfiltered. The breaking news today is that the New York Full Appeals Court has declared Weinstein's conviction unsafe and ordered a retrial. This is, of course, not any surprise at all to us. And any of you who've been listening to the Harvey Weinstein Trial Unfiltered podcast will remember our podcast. We had actors reenacting the trial testimony every day based on transcripts. And this ruling is a confirmation of what we saw every day. Harvey Weinstein is innocent, and we have said it all along. So this is a huge, huge, huge story today. I am on my own, as you'll probably notice. My partner in true crime was at the airport this morning when the news broke, and he's on a plane to New York as I record this. But I thought we couldn't wait any longer to update you. And it's extraordinary what the appeals court has said. Here's part of it. The erroneous Sandoval ruling allowing the prosecution to cross-examine defendant about allegations of charged and uncharged bad acts was breathtakingly inclusive of behaviour that was loathsome, but not the type of conduct that would assist the jury in measuring his credibility on the stand. The ruling thus served to discourage the defendant from exercising his rights to present a defence and testify on his behalf. Together, these errors deprived defendant of the self-standing constitutional right to a fair trial, and proof of guilt, however overwhelming, can never be permitted to negate this right. So that's from People versus Crimmins. So according to that mostly female New York appeals court, the trial judge made very significant errors during the case, and Weinstein is now entitled to a retrial. Another part of that ruling reads like this: "We conclude that the trial court erroneously admitted testimony of uncharged alleged prior sexual acts against persons other than the complainants of the underlying crimes, because that testimony served no material, no propensity purpose," the court said in the 4-3 decision. They continued, "The court compounded that error when it ruled the defendant, who had no criminal history, could be cross-examined about those allegations, as well as numerous allegations of misconduct that portrayed the defendant in a highly prejudicial light," it said. So this is, as I said, this is, you know, huge news, but not huge news to us who sat in the court every day. And while we obviously completely agree with the Sandoval, this ruling on the Sandoval of the admission of these people like Annabella Sciorra and others, our issues with the case were much more than just that. And we had very serious issues with the two women who eventually put Harvey Weinstein in prison for what will turn out to be, or could turn out to be, the rest of his life, basically. But everything's about to change now, and who knows what will happen in a retrial. So it's extraordinary, you know. So we, as I said, we had sat through the trial every day of it, got up at, you know, 4 o'clock in the morning in New York in very cold weather. This is just before COVID, many of you will remember. Walked through Chinatown, by the way, which I just think is so amusing. Didn't get COVID. Walked through Chinatown and would line up with other journalists in the freezing cold to attend the trial every day. And so glad we did, by the way. Really extraordinary. And we produced a podcast, as you know, called The Harvey Weinstein Trial Unfiltered. And I would really urge any of you who are only listening to this episode to go back and listen to the other episodes. Because what's really great about them, as opposed to this one, is that we had the most dramatic moments of every day of the trial reenacted by actors in Los Angeles. It was edited overnight and sent out in the morning. And it really is an extraordinary case. And it's a case that should matter to every one of us, even if you don't like Harvey Weinstein. Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. And, you know, today, or, you know, yesterday they went for Harvey Weinstein. They're going to go for your son next time. They're going to go for your husband the next time, for your brother the next time. Believe all women. Yeah, we don't. We definitely don't. So just a reminder here. So Harvey Weinstein was found guilty of raping Jessica Mann and sexually assaulting Miriam Haley. And he had received a 23-year sentence for those convictions. But so much about the case stank from the very beginning. First off, let's be very clear. Weinstein may be a pig. In fact, from everything I heard in the court, he definitely is, and a disgusting pig at times. But rape, that's a very, very specific crime and one he should never have been convicted of. Apparently, just so we all remember, right now, it is not on the statute book that it is illegal to be a pig. And by the way, lots of pigs out there in the world. Desperate behaviour, awful abomination behaviour, abominable behaviour, nasty behaviour, nasty. You wouldn't want your daughter, your sister, your mother, anybody, you know, belonging to you, connected with this guy. However, rapist, not from what I learned sitting in the court for all those weeks. So, you know, just to remind you then again, you know, what the appeals court have said, you know, so they're really saying that people like Annabella Sciorra should not have been allowed to testify because Weinstein was not being prosecuted in her case or these other cases that got to get a lot of airtime in the courtroom. And it was extremely prejudicial. The judges said the cases which fell outside the statute of limitations should not have been allowed into the courtroom exactly because of how prejudicial they were. However, we would even go further and say they shouldn't have been allowed in the courtroom because they were also ridiculous. Many of these allegations were really ridiculous. In the case of Annabella Sciorra, you know, I found her story particularly memorable because she was allowed to talk to the jury very dramatically about an apparent rape that had happened to her, but she couldn't remember what year that alleged assault occurred. Not even the year. So imagine trying to defend yourself against someone accusing you of something and they can't even remember what year it happened. And her story made no logical sense. At the time, she lived in a large doorman protected building in New York City and didn't tell Weinstein her address. But somehow, he arrived unannounced at her door. You know, that and many other things were like these massive holes in her story. But again, this, you know, this particular testimony of hers and this story of hers, you know, has been very severely criticised for being included in the case. But, you know, for us, you know, this was a lot more than the Sandoval issue, which, you know, was allowing these prior acts to be included. We you know, we had much bigger fish to fry as well. And for us, it was only for us, the Sandoval is the tip of the dodgy iceberg of moral panic that Weinstein had to refute. So he was convicted of attacks on Jessica Mann and Miriam Haley, but their testimonies were questionable and at times totally illogical. And here's why. And I think it's worth going back over this for anyone, particularly those of you who might be joining this podcast for the first time. And again, please go back and listen to the earlier episodes because it really is priceless to hear actors reenact the most dramatic testimony from every day of the Harvey Weinstein trial. So Jessica Mann, you know, is a hairdresser. She's from a very religious background, raised on a dairy farm. We heard an awful lot during the case about, you know, this kind of very wholesome background that she had. And she left home as a teenager to move to Los Angeles to become an actor. So she alleged she was raped by Harvey Weinstein in a DoubleTree New York City hotel, March 2013. But here's where it gets strange for me, and I think for a lot of people, and it should possibly sound very strange to you. After the alleged rape, she had breakfast with Harvey Weinstein and her friends. And more bizarre than that, she was there with her friend, Tommy, who had been in charge of bringing her out there in the first place. He you know, he had bought the tickets, I think, for them to go to New York. She said to him, like off to the side at the breakfast, could he change the flights so that she could stay in New York. So she had the opportunity to get on a flight the same day, the day of this alleged rape, that she could get on a flight, get the hell out of there, get away from New York. Instead of that, she asked her friend to do her a favour, to change the ticket. Now, why did she want to change the ticket? She wanted to change the ticket because her dear, dear friend, Harvey Weinstein, was having his birthday the next day and she really wanted to stay to celebrate with him. Now, does that strike you as odd? Does that strike you as odd? Because honestly, I've been around the block a bit. That sounds a little bit odd to me now. We're expected to believe that the victim of the most horrible crime imaginable changed her flight to celebrate her rapist's birthday. Forget, let's leave that one to a side because it only gets, you know, this is what we had to listen to in court. A month after the alleged rape at the hotel, Mann wrote to Weinstein saying, "I appreciate all you do for me. It shows." And that's not all. Between 2013 and 2017, she changed her phone not once, not twice, not three times, not four times. She changed her phone five times. Every time she changed her phone, she sent Harvey Weinstein her new telephone number. Every time. And on July the 26th, 2014, she wrote to Weinstein asking him would he please, please, please meet her mother. Yep, you heard that right. She wrote, "Hi, just had you cross my mind. Thought I'd say hello." Weinstein replied, "Love to cross your mind. It's my favorite exercise." She then asked him to meet her mother, saying, "She would love to meet you. Plus, you can see how good my genes are." And that's genes as in G-E-N-E-S. So that playful, flirty little exchange, again, just to remind you, was after an alleged rape and was just one of literally hundreds of friendly exchanges between the two that went on for years after the alleged rape. I honestly had a massive problem with that, particularly because not even in one email did she say he hurt her feelings, let alone that he raped her. But she did ask and took the time to ask him, could she please get a membership to the Soho Club? You know, yeah, I don't know. I don't know about you. Let's go on to Miriam Haley. So Miriam Haley was the less serious of the two. The other, you know, the Jessica Mann was rape, apparently. Miriam Haley was a sexual assault. She's a former production assistant and she accused Weinstein of sexual assault in 2006 when she was working for Project Runway in New York City, a job he got for her. The defense again pointed to her behavior after the alleged assault. So, you think about what you think of this. So the day after the alleged assault, she flew to Los Angeles on a ticket that Weinstein had bought for her. When she returned to New York 2 weeks later, she met Mr. Weinstein at the Tribeca Grand Hotel, where, according to her own testimony, she had consensual sex with him. She then asked him if the Weinstein Company would fly her to London. And this is the kicker. This is the one I really think is extraordinary. While she was in London, she realised that Harvey Weinstein, who had sexually assaulted her apparently, would be coming to London. And so she wrote to his assistant, "I'm totally bummed to have missed you guys. I tried to change my flight until Friday, but I couldn't. So if you're coming back anytime soon, please let me know." Does that sound reasonable to you guys listening out there? That you would do that to someone who had sexually assaulted you? She wanted to be in London when Weinstein was there and she was bummed that it wasn't going to happen. Following that, in May 2007, Haley was going to be in Cannes and she really wanted tickets to see Michael Moore's documentary, Sicko. So she sent Weinstein an email asking for tickets and she included in her message, this is really odd, so she's going to be in Cannes. Weinstein, just to remember, the guy who sexually assaulted her apparently, is going to be in Cannes. So she asks for these tickets to see the Michael Moore documentary. And then she adds that she's going to be staying in a private apartment. See, this seems a little bit odd to me that you would use that choice of word to put it in a message to someone you've said has sexually assaulted you in the past. And then 2 years to the date of the actual alleged assault, she wrote to Weinstein again. "How are you, Harvey? Great to see you in Cannes. I noticed an article in today's New York Post about the Addams Family being turned into a Broadway musical. Just to remind you what a genius I am. Didn't I tell you that was a great idea? Like 3 years ago at the Mercer Bar. Lots of love, Mimi." So here she is, reminiscing about their time at the Mercer Bar. June of 2006. Not something you'd playfully reminisce about to someone who sexually assaulted you at the time, right? But it was. And it was signed, "Lots of love, Mimi." And we heard in court about an email sent 3 years after the alleged assault. Here's the exchange between Weinstein's defense lawyer, Damon Sharonis, and Miriam Haley. And I'm going to do both parts of this, but it's honestly, you should listen to the reenactment. Sharonis: "And do you recall reaching out to Mr. Weinstein on February 25th, 2009 and asking him if he had a job or a runner position?" Haley: "I remember having seen..." Yes, I've seen the email since. Sharonis: "Let me show it to you." Haley: "Thank you. I cannot remember exactly the date unless I see it." Sharonis: "Is that a true and accurate depiction of an email you sent to Harvey Weinstein?" So at the moment now it's up on the screen, obviously. Miriam Haley: "Yes." Sharonis: This may be one of the last communications you have with Mr. Weinstein via email. Yes, says Miriam Haley. Sharonis. Dear Harvey, on May the 25th, 2009. Dear Harvey, I've not seen you in so long. How are you? Listen, I'm saving up to become a Kundalini yoga teacher. I just wanted to announce myself available for work if you happen to, by any chance, have anything shooting in London. Did I read that correctly? Said Sharonis. Correct. Sharonis. I'll be a runner, whatever. I really appreciate any lead. My cat needs feeding. Is that correct? Yes, that's correct. Sharonis, either way, I hope you are super well. Peace and love, Miriam. Correct. So, peace and love. Lots of love, indeed. Her cat needed feeding. They loved Harvey and the work and glamour he provided until Me Too erupted, and they perhaps needed to recast their relationship, retell the story of their time with the now evil Harvey Weinstein. Then, despite the emails and the evidence, it was believe all women. Well, we don't, and you shouldn't. Even those pushing this dangerous idea apply it very selectively. They demand proof when it is Israeli women making the allegations after October 7th. But they don't need proof when it is a Weinstein or a Kavanaugh being accused. It's a positive sign that the appeals court has overturned this conviction. Maybe Harvey Weinstein will finally get a fair trial. He was not a sympathetic defendant, but the mob always goes for the unpopular people first. Then it comes for the rest of us. This was a special edition of the Harvey Weinstein trial, unfiltered. Please like, share, and leave a comment if you enjoyed this episode. Thank you so much.